For what's on in sport, you've got the Triple M Rush Hour with MG. For what's on at the Star, see thestarsydney.com.au.
And here we go.
Buckle up.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to sit here every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
The magic is gone, MG. Magic round has been run and won in Brisbane. It's nice to be back in Sydney.
It's great.
It was a big week of exploring the magic of Brisbane on and off the field.
That's a nice way to put it. That's a great way to put it. Our trivia skills are awesome, by the way.
Oh, yes. If you missed any of our content from last week up in Brisbane for Magic Round, make sure you're following us on the Rush Hour on Instagram, at the Rush Hour Triple M, or you've got the listener app, because that's where all the extra content we dropped. There was some stuff with the Raging Bull, Gordon Tallis, in the middle of Suncorp Stadium. And, MG, there's so much to talk about out of the round of footy up in Brisbane. There was some outstanding performances, some magical moments with individual players and teams, but there is one single big talking point.
What's cracking?
14 sin bins and 3 send-offs. You've got 10 players facing suspension. MG, this edict that was sent out by the NRL before Magic Round last week, warning the clubs of any contact with the head, how it would be dealt with, took a while for the clubs to realise they were serious.
Yeah, and the public that was up in arms the first couple of nights, and I thought I was going up there for 4 days of, you know, a festival of footy fantasia, but what I saw was the referees blowing the pee out of the whistle, more penalties, more stoppages, games went a lot longer, they're all very high scoring, and you got to put it down to one thing, it was the edict. And as I said, I commentated the first two games, then watched all the Saturday games, and I thought, okay, well, they're starting to ease a little bit on what they're doing. So I like it. I think the players are starting to get the message. But then comes Sunday, especially with the Dragons taking on the Storm and the Titans taking on the Panthers, we saw two send-offs. It would have been a send-off in any era.
Mm.
In any era. Fui Maiono on Pappenhausen, that's the reason. And the NRL would sit back after all the backlash they copped and said, you know what, boys and girls, we're justified, because for that reason right there, what we saw, one of our star players being on the ground, knocked out cold, and a stretcher coming on to assist him from the field, that's what we're talking about.
Yep.
That's what we're talking about. And then the next game, we saw Herbin Sasa have a brain explosion and do the same thing to Brian To'o. Mm. And it's lucky he didn't get a broken jaw. So, look, was it overkill to start with? Bloody oath it was. It was painstaking to watch a game of footy. And did everyone comment? Yes, and they should have. But was the message sent? Big time. Big time. So going forward now, we've got no more excuses. If the NRL play their part and just maybe keep the pee in the whistle a little bit, don't blow so many penalties, I think the players will start to come around as well and say, okay, we've got the message. We know that playing with 12 men is basically a loss. We can't win a game. So we're gonna adhere to the rules.
You talk about the players coming around to it. Interesting to see how the coaches reacted to it over the weekend in their post-match press conference. This is Trent Robinson speaking after their win on the weekend.
There's been an overcompensation. It's pretty easy to see, but we need to tackle lower. We can't just loosely have head highs and say, oh, that's, well, you got it wrong, I didn't mean it. Well, of course they don't mean it, but we need to get better at not hitting other players in the head. So it's been a bit over the top this weekend, but it's also made a point to say to Satili tonight, don't hit him in the head. Everyone else got it. There was only two players. There's only two head highs, I think, in the game, and they both got sent to the bin. Whereas in a normal game, how many would we have? 5, maybe? So it worked on our two teams tonight.
So that's Trent Robinson measured, yep, as you would expect, MG.
Yeah, and what he said at the very start of that was poignant about the tackling lower. Well, if only there was a reward for tackling lower. If only if I tackled you one-on-one and I was allowed then to get up and mark you, we might see a lot more players going around the hip or leg region. But at the moment, there's no reward for tackling low. there's no it's always no dominant tackle. The dominant tackle is 3-on-1. But if I can tackle, if I've got the skill to tackle someone as hard as I can around their legs and bring them down on my own, the referee should call out dominant. So, and that gives me time to get off that bloke's legs and then go to marker without him playing the ball. Because at the moment, I'm never going to tackle around their legs, because as soon as I roll off, he's going to play the ball and there's a quick play of the ball.
Does your team no favours? Does your team no favours if
you... So, yeah. I always love listening to what Trent Robinson's got to say. And he's true what he said. There was only two in their whole game. Obviously, they were more scrutinised than other games gone past. But, yeah, if there was a reward for maybe tackling between the hips and the knees, you might see a lot more players doing so.
That's a good point, MG. The other coach who's always interesting on these sort of subject matters is Ricky Stewart. Now, Josh Papali'i was obviously sent off, and Ricky had some strong words on the future of the game off that incident.
Yeah, he hit him high, but he was falling into the tackle. But there are going to be a whole heap of send-offs this year, if that's a send-off. So I just hope they don't change now, if that's going to be the precedent. We're going to find a completely different game of rugby league that we've been following for many, many years. I mean, I want to promote the game to parents. But, Jesus, we've got a game that's quite unique, and we've got a game that's not for everyone. It's as simple as that.
MG, to mine, that is Ricky Stewart speaking of the end of the game of rugby league as he knows and loves it.
No, I don't think so. I know how passionate Ricky is, and I must confess, watching Saturday, Friday games and commentating on them, and watching the three games on Saturday, I started to lament that. I'm thinking, well, you know, the reason a lot of us play and the reason a lot of us watch rugby league is because it's so different to any other game. It's built on it's gladiators, you know, one on one. And we can't take that away. If we want to slow the game down a little bit, just a touch, we've got to get rid of the six to go. That's the first place I'd stop and say, okay, well, the game has sped up so much, and these tackles that are, you know, creeping up around the head maybe could be looked at and pointed to for that reason, that, you know, the guys are buggered, so their techniques are out the window. Well, the six to go, which is kind of up to the referee's discretion, is one rule at the moment that seems to be getting all the players, you know, buggered quicker. Yeah. But I must confess, I like the rule. So, look, I'm betwixt and between.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how we always, when the NRL said this is happening, we all should have known that the referees, they've been told by their bosses, do this. And if your boss in any job gives you a focus on something, guess what you're going to focus on? That thing. So it'll be really interesting to see how in the next couple of rounds, MG, where the natural equilibrium with this is, where it sits, how they adjudicate it.
Well, even Peter Vlandis has come out this morning saying that the referees were over-conscientious. Mm. So.
But he did it. But he took the rap for that. He said they were, but that's on him, and that's on Andrew Abdo, because they're the ones that make the rules.
Obviously, they're following the letter of the law to its extreme. Mm. Now the time is for a little bit more flexibility, and we can all coexist.
All right, we could continue to discuss the future of the game and the sin binning and the head-high shots for the rest of the show, but there were some terrific things out of the weekend that we want to talk about, MG.
What's cracking?
It was a brilliant round of footy for certain moments, MG. I know that some people suggested the fixture looked a little bit lackluster on paper, but it still provided some highlights. So you have sat down and waded through the weekend of football, and you've come up with your three magicians of Magic Round.
Yeah, well, it started on the first night, and we're all in anticipation. I was there, and I called the Tigers Knights game, and as the Tigers and Knights were leaving the field, out in the darkness ran this figure warming up, and it was Tommy Trbojevic, and he got almost got a standing ovation. People were there to see him play.
How good is that?
People were there, and I had goosebumps when I was in there. I said in the commentary off here, I said, look at this. Look at Tommy's out there warming up on his own. Probably just giving his, because everyone warmed up in the dressing rooms. So he's probably just gone out to give his hamstrings one last little, that's just like a racehorse getting ready for, you know, the Melbourne Cup.
But those sort of athletes, those sort of people in sport, it is so rare. I mean, Steph Curry has done it in the NBA, where he would have people turning up to the NBA games an hour and a half before tip-off to watch him shoot around. You compared him to a thoroughbred, but when Winks would parade, the crowds would be 10 people deep trying to see this horse. And at the moment, we are having this moment with Tom Trbojevic where fans want to see him that badly.
Well, along with him and Nathan Cleary at the moment are the two best players in the game. They're the most dominant. Every time they run out the footy field, you know that their team's going to win because they're there. Mm. And it's just unbelievable to watch Tommy Turbo. It's the first time I've seen him this year in the flesh at an oval, and you don't really appreciate on your TV at home how much he does off the ball, how much he goes from one side of the field to the other, how much he runs first receiver. Like, he's just... he's a freaking freak. He's a freak. I don't know. Look, he's 100 and what? He's 6'5".
I think he's 102, 103.
105 kilo. Yeah. I saw him at our hotel where he stayed at the same. Manly was staying there. And Geez, a big boy.
Yeah.
He looks good.
If you haven't done so already, take the time to try and get to a game and see Tom Trbojevic live. It is worth the price of admission. All right, so Tommy's one of your magicians of the round. Who else did you have?
Oh, there's a lot, thousands of others. Not thousands, but I'll just quickly rattle off. Nico Hines, I've got to give a special mention to. He was absolutely outstanding. Once Pappenhausen went off, I thought, and I think the Dragons thought, okay, there he goes. So we've got a chance here, but no, Nico Hines made sure they didn't. But I've got to say to Nathan Cleary, he's leading the Dally M by 4 points. Every time he runs on the field, he seems to get man of the match or the second best player on the field. And what he did last night against the Titans was his best game I've ever seen him play. He showed strength. He showed guile. He showed unbelievable concentration at times. And he showed so much confidence in his own ability that other teams have a right to be scared by how he's performing this year.
Nate, those two tries that he scored, the sheer strength that he had to, he's a 23-year-old. This kid is 23 years old, and we call him a kid. He's a man now, but he's 23 years old. He still seems young in our eyes because he's only been around for a short time. But the physical presence he now has as well, MG, as well as the kicking and as well as the game management, he's just ticking all boxes, as you say. And he might not get caught for the Dally M now. Tom Trbojevic strikes as the only person that might get close.
Well, he's brought up 900 points in his career at 109 games, and he's the second fastest to do so since Matt Rogers did it in 2000. So that's how good he's going. And no one's had a season. No one's been as good as him in 20 years. So he's on a trajectory that's out of this world.
And it should be said, MG, he also made the time after the win yesterday to head up into the stands at Suncorp Stadium to thank fans and to hang around and make sure everybody got the experience. Yeah, so
that's, and I think, you know what, I think the captaincy role has given him another edge. I think, even though he's co-captain with Isaiah, I think it's the responsibility he's taken with both hands, and he says, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to be captain this team for a long time.
That TikTok was a moment in time for Nathan Cleary.
Well, you know what?
It really was. It's
what's made him.
Yeah, it really has. All right, and there is one other magic moment, a magician of the round we need to speak about. I guess it's co-magician, MG, because it needed Brad Arthur, the dad, and the coach to make the decision and to back himself in, and it needed son Jacob to stand up.
Well, it was just one of them moments that you were glad you saw it happen. Reece Walsh was an 18-year-old who was against him. He scored a try just before that. And I think, oh, look at these 18-year-olds. Sam Walker, another 18-year-old in Jacob Arthur, who would have been picked against probably a lot of people saying, oh, come on, man, he's the coach's son, you know, look, he's 18, can't we wait? No. The coach knows. He wouldn't have picked him if he didn't think he was good enough. And just because he was his son, well, that's the only reason that Brad Arthur said. The only reason he won't be picked in first grade is because of his own name. So I don't want that to happen to him. So, and he proved that. He scored the last try to wrap it up. In the end, it was 34-18 to the Eels. But that moment when he scored the try, then all the Fox Sports spoke to him after the game, and he went over to his mum in the crowd.
Oh, that was amazing.
All his mates drove up 10 hours to watch him from down at Parramatta. So that was the most magical of moments from the Magic Round, seeing a young 18-year-old fulfilling such a fantastic dream.
Absolutely. And what I loved as well, MG, was Brad Arthur, who, pretty staunch, won't use 10 words where one will do, but seeing him in the box when Jacob scored, it was outstanding. You love to see it. You love to
again,
see
speaking,
it.
Again, speaking about it, I've got goosebumps. It's great. That's what rugby. Look, for everything that Magic Round gave us, and I'll tell you what, it was a roller coaster of a ride. Them first couple of days, the send offs, 14 sin bins, 3 sent off, multiple players put on report. But to see that kid doing what he did, that kind of made the whole weekend worthwhile.
Well, MG, we've got more points to talk about from the weekend of footy, but MG, we're going to talk about the West Tigers, who kickstarted Magic Round all the way back on Friday night very shortly, and the Parramatta Eels as well, who still sitting second behind this juggernaut Penrith Panthers outfit.
They're staying with them.
They're staying with them. They're holding on. But I flew out of Brisbane on Friday because I had to get back to Sydney to go for a little jog.
You did.
And I just want to say to everybody and to my wife and everybody who supported me on this run that I did up in the Blue Mountains, thank you.
Yep.
Because I'm never doing it again.
How far did you run?
It was the single worst experience of my life.
I know a lot of people who've done it, and watching them on social media saying how hard it was. I don't think done it justified.
A little trip up from your place, the Blue Mountains is spectacular.
Oh yeah,
absolutely gorgeous,
especially at -4 degrees.
But if you ask, I ran around there for 50 kilometres on Saturday, MG.
Wow.
and I had a
50 Ks.
I had a full blown collapse in the final kilometer. I had less than a K to go, and I had one of those calf cramp moments. Both calves went. I collapsed on a set of stairs, and I could not get my feet to unclench. It wow. was I had to oh. ask some poor bloke hobbling past me, "Mate, can you help me up?"
Because
I
push my toes to
push
the knee,
my
mate,
toes
quick.
Back quickly. I've fallen and I can't get up. It was awful, and I'll never be doing it again.
Here you go, mate. Throw this on it after with a shadow, the pain away. This will honestly these bandages or wrap them in. And you'll be right. But that's well done, buddy, because I know that you've been training for this for a long time. And
it's done.
50 Ks in normal conditions is hard enough. But when in that terrain, in that kind of weather, the conditions, well done. Bravo. Jeez,
it was outstanding. All right, MG, let's talk a bit of Magic Round. West Tigers all the way back to Friday night. This performance over the Eels, I think when we saw Kalen Ponga, you said it last week, and when Kalen Ponga got ruled out with injury, you backed the Tigers in. You said, yep, must win, will win, did win.
Some of our teams at Magic Round, I think, used it as a chance to get away with each other and a chance to kickstart their season. And I think the Tigers were the biggest beneficiaries of Magic Round because the fact that he made such a notable change before the game, Adam Dewey from 5'8 to centre, that's just not a normal change. Moses Mbai, who's been playing fullback and centre, hooker, 14 for most of the year, you thought, okay, Moses at number 6. But what Moses didn't do was overplay his hand. He kind of just gave the ball to other people in better positions, and that's exactly what a half's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that their forwards are all coming back, Sean Blore was strong. Their forward pack are starting. Jacob Little came back and was fantastic around the dummy half role. Look, they've got to find something to build on, and if they don't, well, that was all a waste of time. That game against the Knights. They play the Warriors next week, which can be a game that they can get. They're playing another hot and cold team in the Warriors. So if they can go back-to-back for the first time this year, well, that'll give them so much confidence.
What do you think is Adam Dewey's best position? If you're coaching a team and Adam Dewey's in it, where are you playing him?
Well, after last Friday night, probably centre.
Okay, you're playing him centre.
If you've got someone like he had Brooks and he had himself, then he had Luciano Leilua in before him, so he's getting some good ball. But Luke Brooks was the catalyst of it all. His running game is on par with the best in the game when he does it. And he ran for 180 metres. I don't think he's ever run for 180 metres before in his life. So that's the blueprint. If he can do that more often and the forward pack can hold their own, which they usually do, I like what I see from the Tigers. I think that was a real good springboard for them.
You think they're capable of still pushing for finals?
Oh, honestly, yeah, I think they are. Look, they're a long way off. They're 3-7. And another back-to-back loss would probably curtail that. But I'd say if they beat the Warriors next week, I'm saying that they're going to be very close to making the eight because who knows what's going to happen? No one knows what's going to happen.
Well, they're 3-7, but the way this bottom half of the ladder is shaping out, that they're only a game out of the eight right now, and a losing record might get you there. Such is the dominance of the top half of the competition this year. You might slip into eighth position with a losing record this year. So just quickly, Adam Dewey, though, you would play him at centre off the back of last week. Where do you think he wants to play?
Well, he was a fullback. I think he was a 5'8 in his juniors coming through South Sydney. Then he was at fullback for them when he done his ACL, and then he came to the Tigers. I think they wanted to play him at fullback, and then they thought, oh, well, let's put him at the 5'8". And he showed at 5'8 that he wouldn't let anybody down. Look, the cold half axis is he's a rugby league player, and if something may happen to touch wood, Pappenhausen is that utility role in Origin, I tell you, Matt Burton or Adam Dewey wouldn't look out of place. And that's not an overstatement, I'll tell you now. They're footballers. They've proven to be footballers, and they're proven to follow the coach's orders because he didn't kick stones. Matt Burton's a 5'8 playing in the centres. There's a lot of comparisons between Burton and Dewey as rugby league players. They're both fantastic players.
You heard it here first. Adam Dewey for New South Wales State of Origin. I don't think there would have been a person tipping a West Tigers player for rep duties this year in the Origin series. But you're saying Adam Dewey with the potential.
Potential, yeah.
Some horses might need to fall over for him to get
exactly.
there.
Exactly. If things go his way and other people don't have quite the luck that Adam has, well, who's to say?
But the connection he will have is with Brad Fittler with the Lebanon team.
Yes.
From when Freddie was in charge of that national
Freddie
side.
Freddie knows how good he is. Freddie knows how good he is.
There's one to keep an eye on. I like that. And very quickly, MG, you think a win against the Warriors, as you mentioned, hot and cold team, but you think that the Parramatta Eels premiership credentials strengthened again over the weekend?
I've got no doubt that's a game they lose last year. That's the hype. They get overcome by the hype of last year, the Eels. Now they don't. Now they know that they're comfortable in their own skin. You know, Mitchell Moses is playing a great brand of footy again. A bit like what I said about Moses Mboy, he's given it to people in better positions than he's in, and he's not trying to overplay his hand, which is so good, so good to see. Their forwards, their front row is probably the best in the comp of Marnie and the two big boppers, Campbell Gillard and Junior Paulo. And Ryan Madison made a welcome return back. Papa Lee, he's on fire. Nathan Brown, he's still, he's coming back into the team. So, look, the Parramatta of they're one win behind Penrith, and they don't seem to get the accolades that Penrith they're getting at the moment, and I think they love it that way.
This is The Rush Hour with MG and Liam Flanagan on Triple M, and it is thanks to The Star. You can see what's on at thestarsydney.com.au. MG, you had a lovely weekend there a couple of weeks back with Meigs, where you got to sample all the restaurants.
It's gone up another level, The Star. You should do yourself a favour and get there.
Yeah, they've got trivia. Now, we had a great time at Trivia up in Brisbane last week, so maybe we should get on to The Star. They've got trivia on, they've got comedy nights,
Wednesday
happy
nights,
hour
I think,
DJs.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, if you want to find out the exact details and not just take our word for it, head to thestarsydney.com.au to find out everything that's going on at The Star. Speaking of everything that's going on,
has MG been paying attention?
We need to find out if you were paying attention to everything else going on in the world of sport outside of rugby league, MG. It was a big weekend in sport. Very simple game. I play you a bit of audio. You've got to tell me the sport and the story. Let's start here.
It's a tight call as well. Really tight call. It's disallowed at Wembley.
Ooh. Controversial in the FA Cup where Leicester win their first one.
It's over. Leicester City land the FA Cup for the first time in their history.
137-year history, and they have won the FA Cup for the first time. Sort of a little bit of justice, you feel? Or I'm sure that all the neutral supporters in this one probably backing in Leicester, because Chelsea was one of those big clubs that signed up to the European Super League proposed format that was threw the soccer world into uproar. So well done to Leicester. The absolute screamer scored by Tielemans for Leicester. It was an amazing goal. And then the controversy with VAR ruling out a leveller by Chelsea late in the game. So it is a spectacular tournament, the FA Cup. And
it's the thing I remember most about being a kid when I was allowed to watch the 1973 FA Cup where West Ham won it, and that's why I've been a big fan of theirs ever since.
Is that the FA Cup got you onto West Ham, did it?
Yes.
Wow.
I was 6 years of age.
There you go. You and my dad loving the Hammers. All right, MG, next one. What's the sport? What's the story?
There it goes. 4 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds. Listen to the crowd.
It's an AFL game. I'll say it's the Giants getting beat.
Rioli to give the Tigers the lead. Rioli. He's had a big win.
He did finish it as the hero, MG. Yeah, Richmond getting over the line by 4 points in the rematch of the 2019 Grand Final. Richmond 87, Giants 83. Giants led the whole game, MG. They were brave, but that might be a real turning point. Yeah, because off the back of the game as well, Toby Green, he's expected to miss a month. He has suffered a fracture to his right shoulder. He should have got a free kick for the tackle, actually, but a fracture to the right shoulder. Now, he is in red-hot form. He's the captain in the absence of Stephen Cornelio. He's one of the best three players in the game right now.
He reminds me a lot of Jason Nakamanis.
Nice comparison. I like that.
He's always in the game, isn't he?
Mm, yeah. Oh, he's such a hard matchup for opposition's defenders at the moment. But him out of the game for a month, It takes a lot of sting out of this Giants outfit. They've got a really tough game this Sunday against the West Coast Eagles at home. It is going to be interesting to see how they can fight through that one against the West Coast Eagles side that's just starting to tick through the gears a little bit. All right, MG, one more. What's the sport? What's the story?
I got out and got into a decent rhythm straight away. I knew I had to do a little bit more, but then it started raining. I thought, it's going to be over here.
I saw that this morning. Jack Miller wins again.
One of the great Aussie accents ever.
That's the best.
And he's done it again. Cue pandemonium. Jack Miller, a Cue brilliant pandemonium. Ride. That's excellent.
Yes, he triumphed in the French Grand Prix. Back-to-back Grand Prix wins. First Good Aussie to do it since 2012, MG, Jack Miller.
Wow. Who was that in 2012? If you're a question without asking.
It'd be Casey Stoner.
Casey Stoner.
Without the information in front of me, it definitely would be Casey Stoner, I would guess. I was about to say Mick Dillon.
By the way, where's Casey Stoner been these days?
Good question.
I thought he went to cars. I think he might have.
He definitely drove a V8. I've got visions of him driving a V8 around Bathurst at some point.
You know what? Let's get Charlie onto him. Let's get him on the show for a chat. Where are they now?
Where is Casey Stoner? I'm just making sure. He's got a website, caseystoner.com.au. That's all I can tell you.
Okay. Well, I'll Google him later.
He's 35 now.
35? Yeah. Jeez, you remember him like this 18-year-old going around the States and kicking ass.
Apparently he's up on the Gold Coast. I probably don't need to be reading Casey Stoner's Wikipedia page. Hey,
we'll get
tomorrow on the show, Tom Trbojevic is with us, MG. How good.
Well done, Charlie, and well done to everyone who's listened. We cannot wait to do it all again tomorrow. Thank you so much for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.
For what's on in sport, you've got the Triple M Rush Hour with MG. For what's on at the Star, see thestarsydney.com.au.